It's good to be with God's people, isn't it? Whenever we gather together, the Lord is with us, and He makes us glad. We need to really sometimes change our vocabulary, you know, our choice of words, because I like Brother Ed, when somebody asks you how you're doing, he says, what? I'm blessed and highly favored. And that is the correct answer, you know, and deeply loved. I may feel a certain way. That doesn't mean that's what's actually the case. Amen. We are a blessed people in the Lord. We're highly favored. And, you know, a lot of it is we need to have a renewing of our minds, and our understanding has to be cleansed. It has to be transformed by the Word of God. And Jesus told His disciples in John 15, you are clean because of the Word I spoke to you, His Word. Amen. And so the entrance of His Word brings light. Amen. And wherever there's light, darkness cannot abide. So we need to be people that love the Word of God. Amen. That cherish the Word of God. And sometimes the Word hurts, but it hurts so good. You heard that statement before? It hurts so good. Sometimes I don't like to hear things that may be hitting me in an area of darkness, you know. But that's just the very part of me that needed to be penetrated by the truth. Amen. And we have to love truth because Jesus is the truth. And if you love Jesus, you love His Word. You can't separate Jesus from His Word. Is that right? You can't separate Jesus from His Word. Amen. So to love Jesus is to love what He says, who He is. Amen. And to trust Him. Amen. To trust Him, meaning that I don't understand everything that happens in life, but I don't have to. Because I know that my Father's heart is good. My Father's heart is kind. I know my Father loves me. And my Father is with me and for me. And He's not against me. So no matter what's going on in my life, you know, I can rejoice. Whatever's going on in my life, I can say I am blessed and I am highly favored and I'm deeply loved. Amen. Because that is aligning myself with truth. With what God says about me. And I've discovered something that when I start to think on, speak on the truth, it starts to actually become a part of me. I become changed. I become transformed by that very word. And that's why the devil doesn't want you in the Word of God. He doesn't want you in fellowship. He doesn't want you in church. He doesn't want you in prayer. He's going to try to interrupt that time, amen, of fellowship with the Lord, because he doesn't want you getting close to Jesus. And he doesn't want you to discover the truth, because once you know what's true, you can no longer be lied to. Amen? As we grow up in this world, as a child, we're pretty impressionable. We're pretty naive. People can tell us things and we believe it pretty easily. But after we've spent a few years on the planet, we begin to realize that you just can't believe everything people tell you. Amen? So we have to also understand that the Lord is true. Everything He says is true, and He can be trusted. But sometimes, because of our experiences in life, we have a difficult time even trusting the Lord, because maybe all we've known in our lives is betrayal and people who have been unfaithful in our lives, friends that have forsaken us. But God is not like that. God doesn't leave us or forsake us. He's a faithful Father. You know, when God calls us, guys, it's just like the song we sang years ago is one of Billy Graham Crusade songs, that just as I am. Just as I am. God calls you just as you are. We didn't look for Him. He looked for us. God called our name. And He called us just as we were. But He didn't call us to leave us where we were. He called us, amen, to do a work. And do a wonder and do a transformation in our hearts and our lives, and that we would be a representative of Him in this world. But when God calls us, He calls us right where we're at. And whatever mess we might be in at that time, God first loved the world. Even when we were yet in sin, Christ died. It wasn't that we, you know, deserved what Jesus did. It was because we couldn't save ourselves that God in mercy gave His Son as an offering to pay our debt. For God so loves the world. He loves you. You know, and as a follower of Jesus, we're called to live a supernatural life. See, God doesn't take the natural out of the equation. God overshadows the natural. He supersizes us. He brings the super to our natural. Okay? And our minds begin to transform and change and think. And so now God has a vessel that, you know, is a whole vessel, because a whole vessel is a vessel who is a person who is of integrity. In other words, a person who thinks, speaks, and does the same thing. It's in agreement. It's in harmony. Whatever God thinks, whatever he says, whatever he does, always agrees. So he's holy. So what we want to become is like our Father, holy. We want to be conformed into the image of Christ. And so God works on the inward man. He works in the inward parts of us. Amen? And he transforms us into the likeness of his Son, so that we also, like Jesus, are people of integrity, people of our word, people that can be trusted. God wants to make you and I supernatural beings. Because what we're called to do, we cannot apart from the grace of God. The Christian life is not hard, it's actually impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me today? That's why people say, well, I tried Christianity. That was your problem. You tried in your own strength to do something that was impossible for you to do. Amen. What we're called to do requires the power of God, the grace of God. You and I relying upon his ability to do through us what we cannot do apart from him. But together in partnership, we become a supernatural individual. Amen? Our natural married to his super, all right? And then we become an expression of God in this earth. And so the word of God is that transforming power in our lives that begins to bring my mind into harmony with my spirit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? You become a born again, a new believer in Christ. You become a new creation. But then there's the conflict going on in my mind, because my mind has been polluted. Amen? And even I was born corrupt. I was born separated. And so what God does is he wants to bring your thinking into agreement with what's true. He wants to change your mind. Repentance really is to change your mind. It's to turn away from self to God, to trust him. If people say, well, you can do anything. How many have heard the statement? You can do anything if you try hard enough. And you hear that from people who have achieved great things in life. Maybe an athlete that was a gold medalist, you know. They said, well, if you put your heart to it and you work hard enough, you can accomplish or achieve anything. Well, how many believe that? How many believe that you can achieve some things? But you can't achieve everything. Okay? The only thing that we can achieve is what God has enabled us to achieve by his grace. By the gift of God. We're born with natural giftings even, aren't we? People can do certain things better than other people. And some people, including myself, there's been some guitar players that I really admired. And I wanted to play like they did. And I can remember practicing for hours and trying some of those riffs. And they were like, man, this is intense stuff here. Are you hearing me? And so I realized that there are some artists I can copy and I can play what they play. But there's others that I can't. In other words, I have limitations in my humanity. Okay? And so this thing about you can do whatever you set your mind to is not really true. Only in some cases, according to your gift set. And so sometimes it's just the fact that we're not gifted in certain areas. And it's important that you and I know our limitations. Even as a pastor, I need to know my limitations. I need to know what God has called me to do, and I can do what he calls me to do well. That's what I want to do, right? I want to do well what he calls me to do, what he enables me to do well. But I can't do it all. I can't do everything, and that's why we're a body. And you have certain gifts and abilities, amen, that others need. And so don't ever feel like I'm not important and I'm not part of this and that I don't have anything to offer, because you actually do. And what you need to do is discover how you fit together in God's big plan of things here and work together as his body, amen, to build up, if we will, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is his church. We're here to work as kingdom laborers together. It's like the boy that wants to be a basketball star. How many young men have just, you know, spent all their time and their energy because, you know, they heard a basketball star say, if you really try hard enough, you can be like me. And they're making millions of dollars. And so the kid on the block says, man, I just want to be a basketball star. Well, maybe that is your destiny. Maybe you are good enough to be a basketball star. Amen. But you need to take a sober assessment of your life and realize what your limitations are. And ask the question, but what am I really good at? What can I really do well? When you and I are born again, what God does is He supernaturalizes us. In other words, we have natural abilities, but when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, that natural becomes supernatural. Okay? And then we can function as a person just how God created us in a supernatural way, to where we're having influence, to where lives are actually being impacted by the witness of God's Spirit through us. God wants every one of us in this room to be engaged in ministry. Did you know that? God wants you to partner with Him and be involved in building up the body of Christ. Hallelujah. How many know that victory over sin and Satan is a very present reality? Victory over sin, over Satan, over the flesh is a guarantee if you will trust in the one who's overcome. In Christ alone, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, right? So yes, in Christ, we can do what He calls us to do, even when naturally we look at it and say, but I can't do that. How many here know what I'm talking about? Has God ever spoken to your heart and asked you to do something that you're looking at yourself and saying, who, me, do that? Yeah. Right? But if you believe, if you really trust Jesus, then we say, okay, Lord, according to your word, we'll let down our nets. We'll obey you. We'll do what you told us to do. Lord, we've been all night long, we've been laboring, we haven't caught a thing. Well, did you try casting your net on the other side of the boat? And so in faith, they cast their net. They trusted the word of the Lord. And because of that, they had a great catch. That's how it works. When we come to the end of ourselves, now we're in a position for God to use us. Because a lot of times, let's face it, we can do Christian activity and God can be completely out of the picture. We can do Christian works and really not have Jesus involved at all. How many know you can feed the hungry and not have anything to do with Jesus in that? See, it's a difference between working for God and walking with God. We're called to walk with God. Whatever we do in word or deed, we should do for the glory of God. We should do as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen? See, programs, sometimes, I'm not against programs, but they should never replace the presence of God. Amen? It's got to be all about Jesus at the center. And everything that we do, it's got to be about Him. In partnership with Him. And what He's calling us to do, again, is beyond what we are naturally capable of doing. We can't live a holy life independent of Him who is holy. We have to abide in the Holy One. And He keeps us. His grace keeps us. We have the strength. We have the ability even to resist temptation if we abide in the Lord. In Colossians 2:13, it says, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. It was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. What did He do? He canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. In Christ, we've been given the ability to overcome the devil. We've been given the ability to overcome our flesh, that sin nature. Amen. Every day. We've been given the ability to live a life that pleases God, that honors God, by the ability that God supplies, not by me trying harder to work for God, but by partnering together in relationship and walking with Jesus. When I call on Him, when I talk to Him, when I rely on Him, when I say, Lord, I'm getting ready to take a drive here. Lord, please guide us safe and keep us safe on the road. Amen. When you get up in the morning, say, Lord, thank you for a new day. Commit your day to the Lord. Amen. Throughout your day, acknowledging Him, talking to the Lord, you know, and God said, I will direct your path if you trust me. God wants us to live freedom. He wants to live us in victory. He wants us to live a supernatural life. We need to live as if we can't do what we can't. And that is faith. Faith is you and I saying, God said it. I believe what He says, and I can do whatever God said I can do. And if my natural understanding says, but you can't do that, then I have to shift away from the natural. Amen. I have to put my faith in what God said and not how I think and how I feel about it. It's no different than the addict who says, well, I tried, but I can't. Well, yes, you can. We had someone the other day, and I think it's all right just to mention it, that said that they had every intention of going and getting and having some beer, drinking some beer. She has a drinking problem. And she talked openly about it at the discipleship. But she said that I was on my way down towards the park, and all of a sudden I heard some music and some stuff going on down there, right? She said, and also looked down there, I saw Rajay down there. She said, oh, that's right. Oh, tonight is Church Without Walls. And so she said she took the beer and she poured it out. Now, listen to this. The simple fact that because she looked and she saw a situation, you know, that was not favorable to what she was about to do, she made a decision, an act of her own will, to do what? Pour it out. And the fact that she poured it out speaks of the reality or the truth that she can do what God told her to do. You can't say, I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You just believed him and obeyed him. If you are in Christ today, if you are born again today, the power of sin is broken in your life, and you can overcome, amen, your flesh, and you can tell your flesh what to do.
That's right.
Don't make excuses, amen, for sin. Or for indulging that sin nature. Because you've been set free from the power of that sin. Amen? It's been crucified with Christ. So we've got to believe what God said about this and live according to the truth and quit yielding to the lie. You see, the devil has no power over a believer except that which we would give him through unbelief. And he's always trying to get us to agree with him, to believe him, and doubt God. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. If I'm having a problem with an addiction, I can believe God, say, Lord, thank you that you have already set me free from this. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm a child of God, born again. Amen. And the power of sin has been broken in my life. That's my reality. That's the truth. And that's what I will live. 2 Peter 1:2, Peter said, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You see, we perish because we don't know what God says. We don't know the Word. By His divine power, God has given us everything, I love this verse, we need for living a godly life. It says God has given us how much? Everything we need for living a godly life. And we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Guys, if we don't know who we are, neither will anybody else, including the devil. Listen to the words of Paul here to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. You see, it's not by persuasive speeches that people are saved. It's by the power of God. It's by the Spirit of the Lord working through an individual. I was listening to Nikki Cruz. As some of you remember Nikki Cruz from back in the day. Amen. Radical gangbanger, born again, you know, Spirit-filled. Been an evangelist all over the world, you know. And, you know, Nikki is no eloquent speaker. I mean, you hear me, he's kind of choppy and he's just a regular guy. But Nikki has the anointing of God in his life. So when Nikki speaks and shares his simple story, the Spirit of God goes to work and moving upon people. And so he doesn't have to use persuasive speech. It's the Spirit of the Lord that does the work. We just simply need to yield ourselves and speak what God is speaking. And God, the Holy Spirit, will do the work in the hearts of people that listen. So we have victory already in Christ. Victory over darkness. Victory over sin. In Christ, we can do all things because He's the one that gives us the ability, the strength to do so. So we need to live a supernatural life. And that's living a life that is naturally impossible, but with God possible. Here's some areas we have victory in our lives. When we have victory in our lives, we have peace. Where there's fear, doubt, worry, depression, self-pity, there's an absence of peace. If I'm anxious, there's a lack of peace in my life. A lack of peace means a lack of God. That's right. Whenever I get anxious, I don't need to run and take a pill. Amen. I just run to Dr. Jesus, get on my knees, get on my face before Him. Amen. And I tarry there until I have His peace flooding my heart and mind, my soul, and everything comes back into perspective. And that problem that was this big is like this big now. Isn't that how it works? It, all of a sudden, your problems shrink. Because God is a supernatural God. Amen. He works in that way in our lives. You know, when a nation's at war, there's no peace. There's war all over the world today, isn't there? There's war in our Congress today. And there's a lack of peace wherever there's a war. But peace comes as a result of one side winning the war. Peace doesn't come until somebody wins and the battle is over. Well, how many know that we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ? Because He has already overcome the world. He's already won the battle. And He did it for us. So that we can now walk in His provision of grace. For by grace are ye saved. Through your faith in God. Amen? It's not of yourself. It's not of us. It's not of works. Thus we should boast. It is the what? The gift of God. It is freely given. What we need is freely given to us in Christ. Sometimes we think, well, I have to earn, or I have to work a little harder, or be a little better for God to give me what I have need of. The reason why we need God is because we can't do it apart from Him. Amen. So we need to be people that are calling on God, trusting in God, leaning on Him, believing His word, and acting upon what He says. Because if I believe God, I will do what He says. If I have faith, I will obey the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The New Living Translation says it this way. In this way, he has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. In other words, our enemy has been defeated by Jesus Christ. The devil can no longer have liberty with a child of God who is born again. Amen? If the Spirit of God is in you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It's you and I saying, I'm going to start obeying the Lord. I'm going to start trusting the Lord. Amen? And know that God's grace is sufficient for me. There's no temptation that's taken me. It says, which is what? Common to man. God is faithful, not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able. But with the temptation, He will make a way of escape. Amen. I can pour that beer out. I can say no to that booze or whatever it is that you may be struggling with. Whatever the addiction might be, God has already dealt with that addiction. God has already overcome the addiction. And if Christ is in you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. That means the flesh in the world. Amen. The Spirit of God in you is greater than that flesh man. Hallelujah. There's life and peace when we walk in the Spirit. Amen? Our confidence is in Jesus. Here's our victory. I got this question here. Why would we try to achieve what Christ has already accomplished? That's bondage, trying to achieve what Christ has already accomplished. Faith is believing the report, believing what God said and what God has accomplished. And when I put faith in the promise of God, the power of that promise, amen, is manifested in me. When you heard the word, amen, of faith, you heard the gospel of your salvation, and you believed it, and you responded to Christ, it wrought peace in your heart. Amen? There was a change that took place in your heart. Because with the heart, man believes unto the righteousness. Amen. And with the tongue, confession is made unto salvation. You first must believe in your heart what God says. Did Jesus die on that cross for our sins? Yes. Can I be forgiven if I come to God and confess my sins? Yes. So why would we try to achieve righteousness by our own efforts? If God has achieved righteousness for us. Do you understand? It's not of works, lest we should boast. I'm not saying that we don't have responsibility as a Christian. I'm saying that your victory comes as a result of your confidence in what God says and what He's promised, but not by what I can do to somehow earn credit with God and be right with God. See, the people, this is what happens. I've been there, you've been there. We've evaluated ourselves. We looked at ourselves and say, man, I wasn't very Christian-like today, or I made a mistake, or I had that bad thought when I was driving in traffic, and whatever it is, and the enemy wants to come over and heap condemnation on you and get you into doubt and unbelief, and you need to shift away and say, Lord, thank you. I'm sorry for that thought, or I'm sorry for that word. Amen? But Lord, I thank you that you shed your blood for the forgiveness of my sins, and I receive forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No condemnation. See, the devil wants, he's a hard taskmaster. He wants to put a heavy load on you and I that we have to perform. We have to earn, and we have to achieve. As long as I'm trusting in me to be the standard of righteousness, I'll never be righteous enough. I'll always fall short. Under the law, it was based upon how well we did. We were evaluated by the perfect law. Amen? And under that perfect law, nobody passed the test. Everyone failed. Everyone fell short of the glory of God, for all had sinned. Jesus Christ, on our behalf, He fulfilled the requirements of that law. And all those things that we did in rebellion to God, all those things that were written against us because we broke the law of God, it says He has taken it away and He has nailed it to His cross. For what reason? So I could be at peace. The battle's been won. He's overcome. He's overcome sin, death. Amen? The grave. He's overcome the devil. And so Christ in you and I is the hope of glory. You and I in Him, amen, become supernatural people. And we can do all things through Christ who enables us, who strengthens us, because we rely upon the power of God and not upon ourselves to be holy. When there's a lack of peace, it means that there's still a war raging. When peace comes, it means that that devil has been dealt with. Amen. So if you find yourself lacking peace in your life, if you find yourself anxious or worried or fearful about the future, all this stuff, that's not from God. Jesus said, don't worry, because worrying is actually not trusting God. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put Him first in everything in your life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, right? He said, I'll take care of all those things that you're so stressed out and worried about. How often we're like, oh, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. Stop it. Yeah. Worry is illegal for a child of God. When I find myself being worried, I deal with it at times, but I catch it and I say, no, we're going to take that thought captive here, right here and right now. Amen, Rajay? Yeah. We just say, that's it. No, not going down that road. Thank you, Jesus, that you got it all taken care of. You're going to take care of me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. My life is in the palm of your hand. You're a promise keeper. You're a good, good father to me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bless the Lord instead. Instead of fretting and worrying and complaining about stuff, I'm going to give God praise and thank Him for His promises that are always yea and amen in the Lord, and that God's going to take care of it. He's going to see me through this. He didn't say if you walk through the water, but when you walk through the water, I will be with you. And that's all we need to know, is that Jesus is with us through the difficulty. Amen? Through the trial, He's going to be there. And my peace comes from Him and Him alone. So where there's a lack of peace, there's a lack of God. But when peace comes, it's a result of the war being won. And Christ has already won the war for us. And so we have to enter in. And listen, guys, we're called to enforce. We're enforcers of what He's already accomplished. When we go about doing good, we pray for the sick, and we cast demons out, and we do the work of the Lord, we proclaim the kingdom. Amen? We're simply enforcing what Jesus accomplished. He said, you go in my name, and you enforce what I've already given you the commission to do in my name. The devil's illegal. He said to the children of Israel, when you get into the land, you're to drive those giants out. Amen? You're not supposed to enter into contracts with them. You don't play with sin. He says, you deal with that sin. You kick it out of your life. Get rid of it. You're no longer subject to it. You're no longer a slave to it. I've overcome the sin, amen, in your life. It doesn't exist. If I believe that I can't, then I won't. If I believe I can't overcome this besetting sin, then I won't. If I believe that I can't overcome this addiction, then I won't. If I believe in Jesus' name, all things are possible. I can do what God said I can do. That God does not want His children, amen, a slave to sin anymore, because He broke the power of it and He has set us free, and we have to receive what He says by faith, and we need to step out in that and walk it out. Amen. And simply say, no more. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be fearful. When that thing tries to come on me, amen, I just dispossess that giant. I put that giant back in his place again and say, get out in Jesus' name. You know, when God told Israel to go into the land, He had promised them ahead of time that as an inheritance. He says, it's already yours. Your freedom is already yours. You already have freedom, but what you need to do is you need to walk it out. As you listen to my voice and you go where I tell you to go in your life, amen, then those giants that are standing in your way will be dispossessed. They will be driven out. But what happens is the enemy sometimes just talks us in to staying on the other side of the river. Just stay here where it's comfortable and predictable. Yeah, you're in bondage, but you don't have to deal with those giants on the other side. Well, if you understand that God has already dealt with the giants, God has already given you the victory. Amen? Then you have your confidence not in yourself, but in your God who's able to drive out your enemies. The reason why people don't have victory over besetting sin is because the devil's convinced them that they can, and they've accepted that. They simply believe that. What you believe will determine how you live, what you receive. That's what it was like in my life. And some of the areas, you know, especially when it came to addictions, God has set me free supernaturally. But it wasn't because I just had a lot of willpower, because some people have strong willpower, but I didn't in those areas. I needed the power of God. I needed to rely on somebody greater than myself. And then it really happened when I began to realize that it's already been taken care of. It's already been destroyed. It's already been defeated. Do you understand? This is what the devil does. He uses deception and he uses lies because Jesus has already stripped him of his power. So all he can do is use lies and misinformation to get you to agree with him so he can keep you bound. It's no different, amen, than the dog that's been kenneled all his life. And he's tried to run against that door a few times and he couldn't get out. And one day they come along and they open that door. And guess what? The dog just sits there. The door is open. His freedom is there. But he doesn't realize that he's free. So he lives as a kennel dog. Amen. When he could go and he could run free. This is what happened. Jesus has already given us freedom in him. Amen. And the door is open for you to walk free. But if you have a slave mentality and you don't believe that you're actually free, then you'll continue to live below your potential in God. The door is open for you to be free. God has already accomplished it for us on our behalf. He disarmed principalities and powers. Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. When he gave us the Great Commission, he sent us out in his name. He said, go therefore, amen, preach the gospel to all the nations. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe everything I taught you. Now, he wouldn't give us a commission to go in his name if we couldn't go in freedom, amen, and full assurance that God is with us, amen, and that we're already free. How many know you can't help people if you're still in bondage? And you're going to be in bondage until you start believing that you're not any longer a slave. You've been set free. The door's been open. You just need to accept that and realize what's happened already, hallelujah, and walk it out. Is this making sense? Why would we try to achieve what Christ has already accomplished? One more. Jesus said in Luke 11:21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted. And divides his spoils. You know what he's saying? He's saying up until this time when Jesus showed up on the scene, Satan had it. He had sway over people. He controlled. He manipulated. He kept people in bondage. But then a stronger shows up. Jesus Christ comes on the scene. Amen? Hallelujah. Who is a strong man? Satan. He was fully armed. He had undisputed influence over people. So all those people that were bound by demons, they had no way out. There was no hope until Jesus shows up. He says his goods were in peace. Nobody could challenge him. Nobody could overcome him until Jesus showed up. Jesus came. Jesus was stronger than Satan. He came upon him, he overtook him, took all his armor from him, and what did he do? He divided his spoils. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, I beheld Satan fall. The Lord is the victor. He's already dealt with the enemy of our souls. He has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Amen? Jesus is Lord. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he commissions and says, now you go in my authority. Amen? And you drive out the giants in the land. You preach the gospel to the poor. Amen? You lay your hands on the sick. Amen? That they may recover. You cast these demons out of people. Amen? And you deal with that devil in your own life. Don't listen to his lies anymore. He's been defeated. And the only thing he can use against us is the lie. And if we begin to believe the lie again, he'll bring us right back into the trap. People have gotten free from drug addiction. They've come up and they've, hallelujah, I'm free. Amen. And then the devil comes with lies and say, you're not free. Oh, no, you're not free. And if you start to believe that, you start to give him that power back to control you and keep you in bondage. That's why we need to maintain the word of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, yes, that is what's true. Because that's what God said. Well, I don't feel like it. Forget your feelings. What does God say about it? How many here are born again? Christ is in you. You know Christ is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? No weapon formed against you can prosper. You can't. The devil has no way of making you do anything that you don't want to do. Just like the lady that poured the beer out. She could do it. But we have to want to obey the Lord. Amen? We want to love Jesus and obey his word.